Undertale is a game full of monsters, but it's a game that forces you to examine who the real monsters actually are. After you get dropped into an underground lair full of mystery and adventure, you and your stupid, puny human brain will have to navigate your way back to the surface, and you might just discover that you're not so different from the monsters after all. You might discover, as we did, that your feelings are the real monster. I'm Julia, and this is Controller Freak. Controller Freak. I'm Julia, here as always with my brews, Owen and Aaron. What's up, guys?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up? What's up? Seriously, anything? Nothing?
I'm a little sick.
Yeah, Owen's a little sick.
Apologies, I'm going to sound a little nasal this week.
Sound great.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Well, listeners, we are going to be talking about Undertale.
Undertale,
for those of us who don't know, is an old-timey stylized game.
You always say old-timey. This is how you describe Stardew Valley. This is how you described, I'm trying to think, there must be others that she's described as old-timey.
Bioshock.
That's different.
God, Bioshock, the ancient game.
The famous 16-bit classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is, when I say old-timey, you know exactly what I mean.
It has the look of a much older game.
Right? Yes.
Even though it came out in 2015.
Right. It is designed to look like and trigger all those nostalgia taste buds of those mm-hmm. old-timey games, right?
Sure, mm-hmm. sure.
Did it do that for you guys?
Yeah, I think the music particularly, mm-hmm. it sort of sends you back.
Yeah, this is definitely like a spiritual successor to some SNES games that I loved, foremost among them Earthbound. The game Earthbound was clearly a big influence on, and this game has its own spirit, a very distinct spirit, because it was made primarily by one dude.
Mm-hmm.
Toby Fox. Way to go, Toby.
Nice job.
Yeah, always like the most respect like possible for people who can just, out of their single vision, create a game like this. I think it's kind of amazing.
Yeah. But apparently, some of his inspiration for this game, yeah, Earthbound, as you said. I read Super Mario RPG in there.
Really?
And also Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean?
Yeah.
Like the Rowan Atkinson Mr.
Yes.
Bean?
Yes.
Wow.
The NES game of Mr. Bean.
Like, was there a licensed Mr. Bean, like, Super Nintendo game?
Yeah.
Like, they made 500,000 copies of it and they sold 10. And
Mr. Bean finds a gun and just has to go through levels shooting people.
And they're, like,
and taking their money.
It sold so poorly that they, like, floated all the remaining copies out to sea and, like, scuttled the ship. And it's like, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Mr.
Wow.
Bean,
how so?
The sense of humor. The sense of humor, apparently.
Mm-hmm. It's weird. I have to say, it has a very specific sense of humor.
I mean, your main character doesn't talk. That's like Mr. Bean.
Oh, shit! You're right.
But you're not really running around, like, getting into mischief, being like...
Right. It has such, like, a specific voice, but I at no point was I like, oh, this Mr. Bean humor.
Pure Bean.
Pure Mr. Bean.
Yeah, it's not particularly British,
no,
is it?
No, it doesn't seem that way.
No.
And I feel like Bean is always set in
This game was made by an American man who went to Northwestern?
No, Northeastern.
Northeastern.
Yeah.
Not super Mr. Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Bean and Northeastern.
Interesting.
All kinds of shenanigans that he would get up to Northeastern.
I think that was the plot of the scrapped sequel to the Bean movie.
Right.
Where he stole Whistler's mother, right,
mm-hmm.
and crapped on it or whatever happened to
Bean.
Well,
the sequel was Mr. Bean's Holiday.
Oh, really?
So I think you mean to say the second sequel.
Wait, there was a sequel to the mm-hmm. Bean movie?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Was it direct to video?
I don't think it was.
I didn't know this. So the first one, mm-hmm. he comes to the United States,
mm-hmm.
and I think he shits in a turkey at some point. Right? This is I'm just setting the stage.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And then there was a sequel to that?
Yeah.
Wow, Rowan Atkinson, friend of the show. While we're talking about influences and inspiration, anything else we want to add to that list that it reminded you guys of while you were playing it? I knew Earthbound was going to come up. I also heard Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that.
What did it do to you to have these, like, nostalgic triggers as you played this game? Because I imagine it gave you a very different experience than it gave me. Because I never played Chrono Trigger.
Honestly, I could not draw. It did certainly, there was a nostalgic effect, and I wondered, like, if it was just me, if that was just me hearing it, or if that was an intentional choice, and if it was, like, what did it mean? I didn't come upon any, like, deeper meaning. I appreciated the references and the inspirations that they had clearly drawn from. And so much of the game is taking, like, the weirdness and wonderfulness of Earthbound, which I hope we will play at some point. And taking it to the next step, like, characters in Earthbound are so weird, and you have such weird interactions with them, and they're so strange and individual, and that is true of all the characters in this. In this, however, they, like, take it to the next step, where, like, those weird characters will, like, invite you to hang out at their house. Mm-hmm. And, like, you'll go hang out with them, and they'll be like, that's my CD collection, like, you could touch it if you want. And, like, that's always sort of what you wanted to happen in Earthbound, was to, like, take one more step into these strange people's lives.
Interesting.
Right.
And so I did, there was an appreciation for that, that yes, was born of my history with those games.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, this game, it reminds you of games of years past, but it is very much doing its own thing, this game. Like, from the first minute you start playing.
That voice, that individual voice really does pop through in that regard. Like, whenever I was like, oh, this is like Earthbound or something, this single creator's voice would come through and make a joke that was in the very singular voice of the rest of the jokes in the game, and right. I would be reminded, like, oh, I'm not in Earthbound, I'm in this guy's game. And I was happy to be there, but...
That's very cool. I have the word quirky written down because that was what the tone appeared to be.
Yeah, I agree.
And it nails it real, like, you know, in all aspects of that.
Yeah. Cute and quirky.
Cute and quirky, yeah, exactly.
It's a really charming game, and I think it's been very successful among, like, several different age groups because of that, like, quirkiness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you're right that it traffics in some, like, 16-bit nostalgia, but this game is very popular with younger people, too.
Really?
People who were not alive for the release of the SNES still like this game. And this is, like, a meme among younger people, so I'm told.
Really?
Yeah, parts of this game. Yeah. Can I ask, does it, like, when you see a game that looks like this,
uh-huh,
what do you expect to get out of it?
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. I'm just like, okay, that's not for me. There's a sense of, like, that's for the other. That's for, like, people like Owen and Aaron who will get it. But I will also, I'll start this by saying that, like, I did get something out of it, and it's not just for people like you. So, good job, Undertale.
Hmm.
Boiled down to the simplest way I can put this, it's not a game I would ever pick up.
Yeah.
But since I did, I got some things out of it.
Yeah.
But, like, right, since we had to do it for this show, I picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Left to my own devices, I would never, ever play it.
Has it, did it, like, we've had a couple games now that look like this, or kind of like this, like Stardew and this, at the very least. Does that, have they changed your, like, you enjoyed Stardew, you were obsessed with it for a little bit.
Yeah, that's a different beast, almost.
Yeah, I don't think it's the art style that's throwing you off. I think it's just what you do in the game.
I think you,
like,
might be right.
Like, if you could, like, go on dates at, like, a fancy upscale bar, maybe, in this game.
Yeah.
If you could... Well, you actually, you do go on a date.
You do go on a date with fucking skeleton.
You can date Papyrus
the
skeleton.
You can actually date him?
Yes, it's a very weird sequence.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could actually make good on that. I will say I didn't get as far as you guys. You guys have finished it. I bowed out because I got into a pissing contest with Papyrus. We were sort of flirting with each other, but also hating each other, and it just... I kept getting locked in his doghouse. It's a whole mess.
Oh,
so
no.
You're going to have to talk me through a substantial amount of this game.
That I tried to finish it, but I actually didn't.
Well, you came super close. You were literally in the final boss fight.
And then I lost all determination.
Yeah. This game is... Aaron has a tragic story that he will share
we'll
with you about.
That.
It does. It does. I didn't stay determined.
Why don't we talk about what happens in this game?
How does this game start?
How does this old-timey game start?
Starts out, you get a little informative, quick cutscene. Mm-hmm. Picture is telling you that there has been a war between monsters and humans, right? There was a war.
There was a war, yeah.
And humans banished monsters into this underground world called the Underground. Mm-hmm. And there's a magic barrier protecting it. And you are controlling this little yellow person.
Yeah. But it looks like a perfect representation of me as a child, so I was here.
You just wake up in this, like, dark room, and you don't really know where you are, and you immediately encounter this, like, nice goat-looking lady named Turiel, and she's like, oh, you're in the ruins. I protect humans who fall into these ruins, because this is a dangerous place, because there's monsters everywhere. And you just start making your way through there, you start solving little puzzles, and you start fighting monsters. And you don't have to fight, actually, you can be a total pacifist, mm-hmm. which Aaron, I know you tried to do, a pacifist run.
I did try to do this, I tried so fucking hard to do this, because I knew from the marketing of the game it was possible to not kill any monster in this game. You're a human among monsters. A lot of them are aggressive, but not all of them, and mostly they're just, like, sort of weird and have, like, little qualms. And I knew from what I had seen of the game that you can exploit these qualms instead of fighting. There's sort of two ways that you can go about resolving these conflicts. You can fight, and that's sort of the... It's set up to be perceived as the common RPG progression of, like, I kill a thing, I get a level up, and, like, I feel good, I'm stronger, mm-hmm. I'm harder to kill. You can do that. Or you can play the whole game without leveling up at all, and just figuring out ways to exploit these monsters' like emotional states.
Right. You can flirt with them, you can threaten them, mm-hmm. you can soothe them, you can... Right.
I thought you were going to say sue them. I was like, that's fucking awesome.
You take them to court.
there's weird stuff like that in here, where like it definitely is really far out, and like there's definitely a... like a muscle-bound one that you have to flex like 3 times with him, and then he flexes himself out of the battle. There's a guy who has a big hat, and you have to ignore the hat and then steal the hat, I think?
Yep.
Did you ever encounter any of the monsters named Aaron?
Whoa. Yeah, I think those are the flex guys,
yeah,
right?
The big, like, he's like a big jacked horse, like mermaid thing. His name's Aaron.
Aaron, that's
true. Made me laugh every time I would fight one.
And he like flexes and he's like, nice flexing. And you can flex back and be like, great, I'll win though. Yeah. Like, heart, heart.
Yeah, it's just like you.
Yeah.
Classic Aaron.
Classic Aaron.
Ugh.
But that's the other way you can get through this game is by doing that, like exploiting their emotions and then doing something called spare. You spare them, which just means you don't enact violence on them.
Yeah.
Is the idea.
Yeah.
I knew from the marketing, too, even before I knew what the game was, this was a game where nobody has to die. It was like a whole thing.
Right.
It was really impressive.
I didn't know that going in. I remember the first time I was playing, it was just like, oh, you can spare them. Like, okay, but you don't get any XP. Why would I do that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fair.
Don't I need to level up and, you know, how am I going to get through the game? But I didn't realize, like, no, you can, like, really commit and, like, make the choice.
And I don't know if I'm not sure if I would have realized that either had I not seen these explicit, like, you don't have to kill anyone in the game. Like, you can do that. If I had just gone into this blind, I think I would have, like you, assumed that it ran on every other old-timey RPG mechanic, which is yes, you kill things, you don't question it.
Yeah.
And you get stronger by doing so.
Plus, this game, like, it's cute and it's quirky and it's got a very fun sense of humor to it. But you get a sense pretty early on that, like, something is very wrong and off in this world. Maybe because, and I forgot to mention this, before you even meet the nice goat mom lady that helps you through the beginning, you encounter a flower named Flowey.
Yep.
and it's fucking terrifying, because I think he tries to kill you, like, immediately, right?
Well, he tricks you first.
Yeah, he's like, he wants to eat your soul.
Yeah, under the guise of, like, teaching you combat mechanics, he, like, beckons you forward, and he says you want to absorb all of these little projectiles coming at you, because they're, like, pure love. Don't you want love? And you hit them, and you realize that they hurt you. And then he sort of reveals that he's not this cute little flower. He's, like, pure evil.
Yeah.
And doesn't he sort of make fun of you for that? He's like, why would you think that? Have you ever played a game before? Or did I just hear that in my fucking head?
No, you're right. He mocks you.
He's like, you idiot.
No, he does. He says that. And that's before
you're
saved.
That was the last thing I needed in that moment. I'm just going to say. And Flowey only gets worse from here.
Yeah. He doesn't.
So much worse.
He's a monster.
He doesn't have a face turn.
Yeah.
It's weird. This is like a quirky, like, Mr. Bean fucking game.
Mr. Bean game.
Yep. It's a fucking old-timey Mr. Reminds Bean me of fucking
Mr.
game.
Bean. Mr. Bean the game.
It's Mr. Bean 3. Mr. Bean plays his game. But at the same time, like, even though it is, like, so jokey and, like, funny, I think it succeeds most of the time. There are also these, like, very, very meta moments where the game addresses you as the player, like, directly, and sometimes, like, kind of aggressively.
Yeah.
Or judgily.
You talk about your save file and shit.
Right, talk about your save file, and talk about, like, what you've been, how you've been conducting yourself. Talk about what you've done on previous, like, playthroughs. And they also have these characters that are very, very, like, well-characterized and, like, sad. Like, you don't know a lot about this Toriel when you meet her, but you can tell that she's very, very, she's a very, like, needy, she needs to protect you. She yeah. feels like she needs to protect you.
She literally holds your hand while you're walking around.
Right, and you've just started this game, and so this very kind-looking librarian goat lady
yeah.
is, like, leading you around by the hand. She's, like, not letting you do anything dangerous, which is, like, very boring for a game.
Right.
But that's sort of the point, is that she's protecting you from all of the game elements.
Right.
And then she, like, leaves because she's right. got to go shopping.
But she gives you a cell phone.
She's like, call me if you need me, bye. Right. And she's like, stay exactly where you are. Like, don't move. It's very dangerous. I'll be right back. And she goes, and of course you move, because nothing will happen in the game if you don't.
I sat for a very long time.
No, and the game, I think, wants you to.
Okay.
And, like, and later this happens again, where, like, she tells you to stay there, you eventually don't, right? You move on. She's calling you throughout, being like, do you like butterscotch? Like, do you like cinnamon? Like, what's your favorite? Pestering you. And eventually you both get to her house. And at that point, there's a similar moment where she's just basically like, this is your home now. Like, you're home. I'll take care of you forever. And you can stay there forever if you want to. You have a little room. She feeds you a little butterscotch cake.
And the game's over?
You can stay there forever if you want. Nothing will happen, but you yeah. can stay
you have
there.
A fairly boring experience.
Yes. You would. Undertale takes about 15 minutes to beat.
Yeah. And you're like, great.
Stay there.
Stay home and nest.
But I think the game encourages you to both want to move on so that something will happen in your game, but also, like, feel bad. Because, like, this woman has been nothing but nice to you. She's, like, offering you her whole life and to protect you. But, like, you need to go back to human land.
It is sort of a great manifestation of what it's actually like to leave home, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your mom's like, no, don't, I'll be bored, I'll be lonely, we're best friends. And then you have to fight her to get out the door. And then when you do, you're like, the world is full of monsters!
Yeah.
I hate it here!
Yeah. This game's sense of humor also, for me, it's so much of, like, meta humor. A lot of it would kind of just bounce off of me and kind of make my brain turn a little bit to mush. Mm-hmm. Like, I zone out into this game. Like, for example, like, when, like, one of the first puzzles is, like, you move rocks around, mm-hmm. and, like, you push a rock and the rock starts talking to you, and the rock is like, excuse me, did you ask if you could move me? Well, okay, anything for you, sugar. And, like, what? Like, where? We started out one place in this conversation, ended at another, and it's just like, it's so, and, like, there's so much of that, because it's not funny enough that I'm constantly laughing,
mm-hmm.
but it's also, like, not lame to the point where I just roll my eyes and just don't even, I stop paying attention.
You're totally right. You have to put goggles on, almost, of yeah. just, like, you're on board with yeah. what they're doing, but you're also, like, vaguely confused yeah. at all times.
It's kind of stoned, this game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of stoned on edibles.
Yep, exactly. That's weird.
Once I was attuned to it, it sort of swept me along.
I mean, I was swept along. I just...
Well, that's like being stoned also.
Exactly.
Like, you know?
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
I was there for it. My brain was just a little bit out to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
No, it absolutely does.
It does. That's actually a really good observation, because you do feel different when you're playing this game. And then coming back into the real world is like a bit of a moment. Is it an RPG?
Yes.
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 Hey, look at that. Mm-hmm. Nailed it. Okay.
Though it's weird. It's like, it uses some RPG mechanics against you.
Right.
Like, right. It makes you... I don't know.
Listeners, they both look really stoned now, I will just...
I feel stoned.
I know, I wish you look I was. Stoned. Yeah.
I feel sad and stoned.
Oh, honey.
I feel, like, a little angry. Is there, like, a gas leak?
Did Undertale? Oh, yeah. Is it Undertale, carbon monoxide?
Undertale definitely turned off all of our pilot lights.
Undertale!
Yeah. Police.
It's like, Undertale's fault.
The coroner is going to listen to this and be like, we got to send out a message to every owner of Undertale.
Yeah.
Then Flowey also, pops
this is
up.
This is a weird episode of Freak.
Not my favorite, to be honest.
Not my favorite.
The Last of Us, we were at a pretty level place.
But this is...
I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah.
Toriel's like, I turned off your stove lights, so now you can't leave.
I feel like this game, like, you're right, so much of it is, like, fucked up, weird humor that I enjoy generally, but I agree, it was like... I had to get on that level, and I couldn't really leave that level. Mm-hmm. And if I did and I came back, I would have to be... There would be 5 minutes where I was like, okay, like, what? Why is this happening?
Yeah. You need to readjust yourself and your settings.
You kind of almost can't do the puzzles unless you're in that mind frame.
Well,
the puzzles are very much like, let go a little bit in order to get them solved.
And a lot of the puzzles are... I mean, there are, like, legit puzzles in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, like, I would say a good half of them are, like... jokes in guise of puzzles.
Right.
Like, they'll tell you you're doing a puzzle, mm-hmm. and then a character will do something characteristically, like, stupid or, like, fun.
Yeah, skeletons are all about that, I remember.
Skeletons are all about that. Metaton, who is, like... You didn't get to him, Julia, but he's like a game show host fucking robot who, like...
Oh, yeah.
Reappears, like, 8 times in, like, the maybe, what, third act of the game? As, like, this guy who, like, the scientist has accidentally let loose is the idea. And he tries to kill you or, like, tries to, like, get you over and over again using these elaborate setups where he's, like, on a cooking show and, like, he needs a human soul to, like, complete his cake. And, like, it's just, like, all these crazy fucking things. And in a lot of these cases, you don't actually have to solve a puzzle. It's a cutscene, basically, that you, like, sort of participate in. But it's an excuse for, like, a stoned fucking joke.
Yep.
A huge setup, like, a crazy, like, Shaggy Dog story.
Yeah.
Stoned joke about, like, why is this actually, like, not a puzzle? It's busted.
Right.
I don't know another game that does that. You're absolutely right. It's, like, very, very unique in that way.
Yeah.
But can be exhausting in that way, too.
Right.
Did you mostly fight? You didn't do, like, the top?
Yeah, I did, like, a neutral run. I fought a lot just because I thought I needed to get XP.
Mm-hmm.
That was the main thing. And also, sparing everyone seemed very difficult because they just keep attacking you if sparing doesn't work.
Yeah. I thought I was really jazzed to do a pacifist run just based on what I had heard. And then I killed my mom immediately and I was like, well, I guess. But something about being confronted with that combat screen... I realized that, like, I wanted to fight. It, like, made me want to fight. And it didn't make me want to negotiate or encourage or soothe an enemy. I wanted them to die. And I was like, well, I guess that speaks to something that I should follow through on.
Yeah.
But Aaron, that is not what you did, right?
No. I should have did what you guys did, though.
Well, you're just salty now because the end got screwed.
I know. Aaron is still, like... visibly wounded.
I know.
Because he just, you know, he worked very hard to not kill anybody.
I think I was more invested in this game than I thought going through it until the end. Like, I think I actually, the mix of, like, meta, like, mind-fuckedness, and, like, stupid, like, stoned, but, like, kind of deep comedy, relationship-based comedy.
Yeah.
Where you're, like... You're getting to know these weird characters, and they're, like, asking you to do things, and they're, like, they're very needy, and they need you to, like, figure out their, like issues.
Mm-hmm.
And you can engage with that to a pretty high degree. Whether it's the, like, stupid, silly brothers, which Julia realized, I didn't even get this joke. Their names are Sans and Papyrus.
Fonts.
I had fucking no idea.
Oh, yeah.
That, and, I got that. And the fonts are their actual text. The text is in, mm-hmm. in the fonts. Mm-hmm. So
the
sans...
two worst fonts.
right.
Yeah.
Perfect. Loved it.
That went completely over my head. But
it's better than Helvetica. No?
Yeah. That would have been a tough pill
you love, to swallow. You love Helvetica, don't you?
Yeah, but as a boss? Yeah, Helvetica would definitely be a boss battle.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It would fuck you up.
Yeah.
All edges.
Yeah, that's yeah. True.
No, you don't want to tangle with Helvetica.
So I don't know. I in trying to do my like pacifist run, which like I think I got more invested in that than I thought. Because right, it is hard and it sucks. Like I want to fight. I'm playing this RPG. I want to fight, but like I've gone all this way. Like
right,
at
well,
a certain point.
So why did you fail? With the pacifist run. Sounds like you didn't kill anyone.
I didn't kill a single fucking monster, even the real dickish ones.
Right.
I didn't... I would redo things over and over and over again because I would keep getting fucking killed. Because if you don't level up, your HP never increases.
Right.
Right.
And so you're stuck at 20 HP throughout the entire game.
Right. That sucks.
It does suck. And it's not awful hard, but it's just hard enough to be like... I wish I had more HP. You have to go back and stock up on fucking, like, food to, like, make sure you don't fucking die whenever you hit a boss, which is a big deal. You can't sell anything in the game except for a Temmie Village. Did you guys go to Temmie Village?
Oh, yeah.
Temmie Village is, like, a village full of, like, they're, like, dogs but with a girl's head mm-hmm. whose name is Temmie. And they think humans are cute, and they talk in, like, little baby speak. And it's a secret where Temmie Village is, but it's the only place in the world where you can sell anything.
Right.
Like, you'll get this, like, worthless shit, and you'll try to sell it to, like, a vendor, and they'll be like, oh, like, this isn't a pawn shop. Like, this is a
this
store.
This isn't any other video but, game
right, exactly,
you've ever played.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're like, we don't do that. You have to go to Temmie Village, which is a village full of fucking, like, idiots.
Yeah.
Who just say, like, I'm Temmie.
What?
And you have to go to the Temmie shop, where you can, like, sell them Temmie flakes. And they'll talk about how they're saving up for college, but they'll buy your Temmie cakes. And it's like, it's fucking nonsense. What was I fucking...
I was just gonna ask how you failed, exactly.
Despite
not killing anyone.
Right. So this was very hard for me, and I like tried and tried and tried. I didn't kill a single person, and the game even congratulated me on it.
Yeah.
Because they like at the end of the near the end of the game, Sans, who's like this sort of doof like skeleton who's been like kind of your pal throughout, emerges when you're about to face the big like the king of this world. You've been told over and over again, like
Monster King.
His heart is
Asgore.
And his heart has been broken, you learn, by, like, this awful tragedy. And
his son died.
His son died along with his adoptive son, who was a human, who came, much like you.
Yeah. And it also explains why Turiel, the goat lady, is sad, I think, and why she's protecting you.
Yes.
She's his wife?
Yes, yeah. You immediately when I saw the king, I was like, "Oh, this is the queen," because like they look kind of the same. They're sort of goat people,
yeah.
And both sort of sad. And it's clear that they like split up after this great tragedy, which is like really like sad and like affecting, and like completely out of tune with the rest of the game, which is like fucking skeletons, like punking you or like trying to date you weirdly
sassy rocks.
A lot of like aggressively awkward people. Like there's a scientist in the middle who is like aggressively awkward and like insecure to the point that it like drives the plot.
Yeah.
Like her insecurity. Anyway, dealing with all this emotional shit was actually the point of the game. And to successfully do a pacifist run, even though, as I was saying, Sans shows up at the end and is like, you didn't kill a single person. Like basically, we tried to trick you into doing the RPG thing of killing people. You didn't do it. You didn't go for it. Like, great job. That apparently was not enough. I looked up, and I had forgotten this even fucking happened. In the middle of the game, Papyrus, one of these skeletons.
The hot one.
The one who you can date, mm-hmm. right? I didn't date, but I hung out with him. It was, like, super fun.
Yes.
Yeah. I just took it at, like, face value.
I know.
Still
funny.
Yeah, Sans is, like, you're right. Sans is not the hot one. No. He's, like, the schlubby one. And Papyrus is, like, a psycho. but like, is like,
we'll come back to that. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's really the Dwayne Johnson of skeletons.
He is. He's just so hot. He calls you because you get his number after you like hang out with him. There's like a captain of the guard character who you have to deal with in one of these middle stages, who's like kind of a non-entity. She's just like this scary, like, boss.
Yeah.
Who you have to fight in like a creative way if you're doing a pacifist run. So I did that. Great. I thought it was over. Papyrus keeps calling you during this because he's like freaked out that his boss and you, who is his new friend, are like fighting. So he's like calling you, talking fucking nonsense, like, throughout this level. Eventually he's like, after it's all resolved, he's like, hey, like, we should all hang out. Like, we should hang out at her house. Like, why don't we hang out? After that, he never called me again.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that I was just like, okay, that part of the game is over. Like, fine. Apparently, I was supposed to know that this lady's house was behind a waterfall.
Right.
And go and hang out with them.
Yeah.
And that would further the relationships of these characters in a way that would allow me to, like, further commit to this pacifist run.
It's bullshit.
Wow.
I feel for you. Shame on you, Undertale. If you could see Aaron's face right now, I know you can't, but...
They can hear. I can't fucking finish the sentence right now.
Like, no, it's yeah, okay. He did everything that he was supposed to do.
Everything.
His pacifist run.
Did you see the waterfall? Was there any indication that it was an option to go to the waterfall?
I saw the waterfall. Okay, here's the other thing. Is that Papyrus is like, I love him. He's a great character. He's full of shit. He like talks your ear off constantly about like crazy shit that he's never going to do, or like that he wants to do, or that he like he's dreaming about.
I love that about him.
I know, it's one of his great traits.
He's ambitious.
But I had no reason to be like, yes, now I have to, myself, seek out this lady's home, who's been trying to kill me up until this point in the game, to, like, actually hang out with them. I had no idea the impetus was on me.
Yeah, it sucks. That's bullshit. And you get such a cool ending, too, when you do the pacifist run.
I know.
I watched a video of it, like, all... your friends and enemies that you've spared, like, come help you with this big boss fight at the end, and it's nice.
And I guess that's the point, is that it's not really just a pacifist run. It's like a...
Right.
It's like a caring run.
Yeah.
Like, I was a pacifist, but I think where I went wrong, if I was to, like, dissect it, or if an ideal defender of Undertale was to dissect it, they would say, you were a pacifist, but you did it because you, like, felt obligated to, like, do that run. You didn't engage with these characters as, like, full people.
Oh,
I was doing it too... It was too rote. That's what I think I should have learned.
Yes. Do you think that applies to you in real life? I'm sorry to be the therapist again, but, like, if the only factor here preventing you from getting the ending that you deserved mm-hmm. was, like, your own internal process, then, yeah, this says something about you as a person, right? And, like, the way that you engage with the world. And not exempt.
Your point is taken, and I agree. I think I was driven to do a pacifist run not because I really wanted to, but because once I started it, I was like, I have to do it.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm supposed to do it.
Yeah.
That's the rules
now. This is really big. I hope you know how big this is. This is a breakthrough.
I always try to play a therapist with
this. I always play psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is a breakthrough and it isn't. I'm not sure this is going to change the way I approach.
Oh, it's not?
I don't know. Because a lot of games don't deserve this kind of thought.
Like, what do you mean by that?
The fact that I'm, like, fucked up about this and, like feel, like, angry is a reflection of the fact that this game has, like, a deceptive depth programmed into it of, like, character and, like, relationship. And the reason that I couldn't progress in that, the reason that my friends didn't come, like save me at the end, was that I left them feeling, like, weird and unresolved, because Undyne, this person who I didn't go over to their house.
Right, because Undyne was texting you, and you just never got him, I guess.
And she had a letter that she needed to deliver to Alphys, who's this awkward fucking scientist right, leader, who right. has, like, that crippling insecurity I mentioned.
Right.
That was never resolved for her, so she's just bent out of shape about that for all time, apparently. They couldn't be there for me because I wasn't actually there for them.
Yeah. It just didn't seem like it was part of the deal, though.
Right. I think I should have, though, gotten from, like, the gameplay up until that point that, like, yes, like, three different NPCs have asked me to have, like, dinner. And, like, I've had to have, like, dinner with them, and they've, like, chatted me up.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen in most games.
Yeah.
That should have clued me into the idea that, like, you need to be paying attention on more than just a gameplay loop.
Yes, yes.
I'm pretty sure I just killed Undyne, so I didn't even have to deal with any of these tough choices.
You went to her house, or... Where did you kill her?
Oh, no. When do you...
No, she keeps stalking you throughout this portion of the game.
She's following you around and shit.
And the way to, like, non-violently beat her is to run away. At a certain point, you run away. She keeps chasing you. You keep fleeing. It feels like you keep having these boss battles, but you keep, like, running away like a bitch.
Yeah.
And eventually you, like, outrun her. And that's the way to beat it.
Unless you're Owen and you just faced her head on.
Yeah, you can just also, like, fucking kick her ass.
Yeah.
But at that point, I was 15 hours in. I didn't want to fucking, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
You're right, though. There's a deceptive amount of depth that I think warrants more than one playthrough. The more and more I realize about this game.
What was your ending like?
Well, my ending was the ending that you, Aaron, ended up getting.
Yeah.
Which is like the neutral ending where Flowey the Flower faces you again. And this time turns into this like really gross... disturbing. And the art style of the final boss, too, is, like, unlike the rest of the game.
Completely different.
It's, like, very, very unsettling.
Very jarring.
Very jarring.
It's like Earthworm Jim, kind of, like, that kind of, like, gross or, like, Ren and Stimpy, like...
Yes.
Like, evil Ren and Stimpy, like, grossness.
Right.
Wow.
And, like, there's a TV in it, and, like, it's very unsettling.
Yeah.
The souls heal you, because he has all there are these seven, I think seven, right? Seven human souls of, like, people who have fallen down to this realm and have been murdered, and who the king, Asgore, has their souls, because his idea is he's going to break down the barrier between the monster and human worlds.
Right.
And so the idea is that the monsters have, over time, Asgore has, after this tragedy of, like, losing his...
Killed people.
His monster son and his human son in this awful incident... any human that now drops down, he kills, and he takes their soul, he puts it in a jar, and he's saving up, basically, so that he can destroy the barrier between worlds and go back up to the surface and wipe out all humans because they took his kids.
Oh.
And he's just sort of been, like, decimated by grief, and that's his only thing that he wants to do. You, in the final battle, you see these souls, these other souls, and they help you, right, throughout?
Yeah. Yeah, you call for help, and they heal you, and help you get through the battle.
And after defeating Flowey, with their help, what happened? You just go home?
I think you just go home, if memory serves. It's sort of, we're back at the beginning now.
Do you see, going back to the human world, do you see what that looks like, or is it just, like, implied?
No, it's implied, I believe.
Wow. Yeah. I would have expected a full coming home moment.
Nah, no, this is not the game for that.
Hmm.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Then there's the super dark ending that you can get
where you kill everyone.
If you kill everyone and everything, you slowly start to get possessed by the soul of the first human that ever fell into the underground.
Oh, wow. This
human named Chara, who... There's this whole backstory where Chara's soul, like, gets enveloped. Oh, Flowey.
You're stoned, Owen.
Oh, my God.
So high right now,
some
dude.
Bad shit.
You took in, like you had a water bong of Undertale.
Yeah.
And you just, like, fucking sucked that shit in.
Now my brain is working too fast, and I want to go to the hospital.
Now your brain made like $10 million on Steam.
Yeah. I'm going to eat an entire box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch to help.
Butterscotch pie until you're sick.
Sounds so good.
Anyway, fuck it. You get possessed by this being.
Chara.
Who was the king's adoptive...
Human son.
Human son.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Chara looks a lot like you, and Chara... appears at you at the very end and is like, hello, it is time now for us to wipe out all of humanity. And the game just crashes.
What?
The game intentionally crashes. Yeah.
I don't like it. I feel bad. The game made me feel bad. I don't like that. And I don't like what happened to me.
I don't like what happened to you either.
I don't like what's happening to you right now. It's upsetting.
I'm sorry. I'm not angry at you guys.
Right, pass okay. the blunt.
Yeah.
I'm an angry stoner. When I get high, I wreck shit.
Can confirm.
What I'm trying to convey is that I think this game like is a manipulative in a, like a weird way.
Yeah.
I think this game is meta in like an angry way.
Mm.
And like, I don't know. Maybe I didn't come at this with the right emotion, but like, it tricked me into caring a little bit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like the way that it's using
only
it.
Only to pwn you and say like, ha ha, you shouldn't have cared.
Yeah, kind of.
Or like you didn't care in the right way. Like you feel like it's being sort of accusatory and judgmental.
Right. Or like we're going to tell you this story, but like the part of the story is contingent on you failing to like fully appreciate the story.
Mm.
And then we're going to kind of mock you for not appreciating the story.
Mm.
And then we're going to leave you hanging.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel that. I think my opposite, I was the opposite. I think I cared too little. I think I kind of just didn't give a shit and kind of just rolled with it and wasn't really thinking about it in terms of like a strong narrative where I'm invested in these characters.
Yeah.
I think I kind of just like, all right, what weird thing's coming at me next? What, like, weird jokes coming at me next? Whatever. This is fun, but I don't think I got as invested as you did. I think it's interesting, though. Like, at least it made you feel something strong.
Yeah, it really did.
Feel alive.
It really did.
I don't know.
This is the most emotional I've seen you.
Feels like I should have played this game with a little more being able to switch between, like, what you were feeling, Owen, which is like, haha, like, next, please. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, next.
And what I was feeling, which is like, oh, wow, what a cool story. Like, I don't think I should have leaned into the latter.
I feel like this is an important life lesson. I can't separate the psychology from this game. This just feels very informative in, like, the way that it's forcing us all to be introspective and, like, self-examine.
Mm.
And, like, on that, I feel like there are lessons learned here that may not be apparent right away, but you've learned something about how you engage with the world or don't engage with the world. And maybe that will be useful later. I took a couple psych classes in undergrad, so that's why all of this is
and
just...
And your main takeaway from this game
I didn't
is that
play a lot
who cares? Who cares because it looks like shit?
It's pretty old-timey.
It stinks!
Wow.
I'm reminded.
That old-time religion.
I liked... It felt like, weirdly, I felt very seen when the game all of a sudden was like, would you like to flirt with this enemy in combat? I was like... I had to, like, look over my shoulder to see if I was being watched by, like... I don't know, God. Someone just understood immediately, like, what my instincts were in that situation was just like, you know, Papyrus is kind of fine. And, like, I'll flirt with him. And then all of a sudden I was allowed to, and I've never felt so seen or so heard.
Wow.
In my life.
Where are we right now?
I'm so high.
What do you think, like...
Ow, my head hurts.
Yeah.
No, but you
it's
know...
It's impressive considering that this game was funded by a Kickstarter campaign.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Like, Stardew didn't have a Kickstarter, did it? That guy just fucking brute-forced
it.
I
don't think so.
Just, like, worked his ass off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Dwarf Fort. Dwarf Fort didn't...
Oh, one of your favorites.
Yeah.
Created by, like, I think two dudes
in... Dwarf Fort.
Dwarf Fortress.
Yeah, Dwarf Fortress.
But which I like to call Dwarf Fort, because I think that's a nice, like... syllabic punch.
Absolutely.
Created by, like, two guys, right? Two brothers, I think, in the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Slavic Punch is a good band name.
Mm. Syllabic Punch?
Oh, I thought you said Slavic
Punch.
Oh, wow.
Dwarf Fort.
God, we're doing great right now.
I'm sorry.
Dwarf Fort.
Can you edit out Slavic Punch?
No.
I thought Aaron was being stupid.
That's the name of the podcast now.
I don't know what's going to get edited out, what's going to make it in.
Are
we even recording?
Yeah. I think what's going to make it in is going to be Undertale. The rest of the episode is just going to be the Undertale music. And every so often we're to come in and go Undertale so that we interrupt the MP3 so we don't get sued.
Right.
And then at the very end of the 45-minute loop, we're going to have Julia say, Slavic Punch! And then we'll do like a promotion where...
God, Papyrus is hot.
Yes, he is. Okay, guys.
Tell me why Papyrus is hot.
Well, because I felt really validated, because I felt like so many games we play, you interact with an NPC and you feel like there's a little something there, but it's just so, like, whatever. Like, yeah. The game's not going to explore that. It doesn't have the time. It doesn't have the bandwidth. But this game did have the time and bandwidth, and I was so fucking validated, because, like, you know, he makes you a spaghetti dinner right in the beginning, and you get the sense he's, like, you know, he's a little bit fascinated by you because you're human.
Right,
he's putting a little time and attention into you. And so I, player character, was kind of just like, oh, okay, like, that's kind of fine. Like, whatever. Like, he noticed me. And then I was like, Julia, you're a pervert. Stop. You know, not everything is choices, as we've discussed on this show.
Right.
But then, mid-battle, and I hear you can even continue that on later and actually, like, go on a date with this guy. Yep. Like, that was an option. And I just felt like, if nothing else, we have that. Like, we got that out of Undertale, and that was super fucking cool and inspired.
Yeah.
It didn't end well with me and Papyrus, because we just got locked in this, like, deadlock battle where, like, I was flirting and it wasn't working, or I was flirting and it was working too much, and he was like, oh, I don't know what to do.
Right, and that's where you left off with the game, right? You're like, well, I'm done. That's
I watched Julia doing this, because you were doing, like, not a pacifist run. You were, like, fighting people.
Yes.
But you got to Papyrus, and I think he kept kicking your ass.
Yeah, because you can die even in those talking runs if you're not good at bullet hell.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
And I'm not. Like, I thought bullet hell was really unfair. Sure. And, like, if you're talking, there should have been a different mechanism, because that's stupid.
Well, the idea is that you won't fight back even though they're attacking you.
Yeah.
But then if I do fight, I still have to go through bullet hell, so what's the fucking point? You know, like, that felt a little broken to me.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, Aaron. I see. It doesn't make sense.
My point is, I saw you do this part, and Papyrus kept kicking your ass, but Papyrus, by this point, wants to date you, right? So he kept getting you down to one health and being like, I beat you, haha. I won't kill you, but I'm going to put you in prison. And did this happen to you in your playthrough?
He takes you to his doghouse.
Yeah.
It's super cute.
And he, like, locks you in there.
Yeah.
And you, like, I remember. And Julia, like, got out and, like, met him again. He was like, oh, no.
He was
and
like, you he, escaped.
Like, he, like, fought you again. The same thing happened where you didn't beat him and you didn't, like, spare him. You didn't, like, do the correct thing. And so he was like, I beat you again. Now you're going back to prison.
But he upgraded it for me.
Yeah, he said
it was like better dog food and like a better dog bed.
He was like, you won't be able to escape, nor will you want to. Which is like a thing I didn't see at all.
You had a fraught, complicated relationship.
It was extremely. You've seen the Netflix show You. It was kind of like that.
I have not seen You.
Well, you're missing out.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All you need to know is that this part of Undertale is kind of like that show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was going to make fun of you for saying that, but you're absolutely
right. It's true.
Right,
no,
actually.
I'm right. He's Penn Badgley.
He stalks you.
Mm-hmm.
He locks you in, like, a confined space. That's also very important to him personally.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yep.
Huge spoilers for you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, wow. I'll have to put a warning in the notes.
I know.
Giant spoilers for season one of you.
Spoilers. Look out.
Sorry about that.
But that is where my
Heads
Undertale
up.
Ended. So I only made it to one town. You know, I've only been to Snowden, the, like, haunted Christmas town.
Snowden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which ironically is fucking bug tall hell. There's, like, cameras throughout.
Yeah, there's
Snowden.
Cameras everywhere.
Gosh. Which the real life Snowden wouldn't like at all.
Yeah. That is ironic. I see what
was
you
it
did.
Was it a fuck you directed at him, I wonder?
That'd be great if, like, after doing the correct pacifist run where you, like, correctly, like, fucking socially engineer the entire fucking run, the end, like, credits are just, it's just, like, a fucking 18-page screed about, like, the NSA and, like, how, like, Obama's no better than Trump. And, like, like, just, like, a insane, like, extremely, so far left, it's far right, like, manifesto.
I would love that with the Undertale music running over it.
Right. And just, like, your player character's face, like, it's coming from them.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, did you know that America has caused more death than Soviet Russia and Nazi Germany put together? Like, just, like, extremely incendiary, like, opinions.
I love this.
Right. And then, like, Toby Fox's full mailing address. So you can, like, send him, like, your responses.
Guys, what would you like to say to Toby Fox if he's listening right now?
When are you going to finish the rest of your next of the sequel, Deltarune? He put out like episode one, and that was pretty good. It was very similar.
Is it fun? Is it?
Yeah, it's like a little pretty. It's like slightly prettier, but overall, it's pretty much the same. It's a cool ending, very dark, creepy ending.
Hmm. Deltarune is Undertale Scrambled, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
If you didn't know that, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Now you do.
Mm-hmm.
Anagrams are fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Aaron, what would you like to say to Toby Fox?
I really respect Mr. Fox.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, I don't know. I didn't enjoy. I enjoyed this, and then I didn't.
Mm. Yeah. That's why we do this show, because sometimes you don't know that you didn't like a game until you talk about it. Or you didn't know you like it until you talk about it.
That's true. That's true.
We do it because I just wanted to talk about them, so I don't feel so alone.
That's true.
But is this helping you through that? Like, are you glad you're having this revelation, or do you kind of, ignorance is bliss, you know, like, if you hadn't digested it and unpacked it with me and Owen, you might not know that you feel this way.
I think this all boils down to, I don't want to play a game again to get the ending I want. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Wow, listeners.
And that's the whole point of this like structure. Like apparently if you get the neutral ending, which I think I was on track to do because I didn't fucking hang out at the waterfall.
Yeah, you were.
You get a hint saying, do you want the peaceful ending? Like, here's a hint. And then you have to play the game again and like do that. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Why make me, you know? Yeah. I bought your game. I did the little things that you wanted me to do. I checked out the dudes with the hats, and I ignored them, then I took their hats.
Mm-hmm.
I had, like, weird aggressive flirting with the, like, 747 monster who was trying to, who liked me, but they were too arrogant to say.
You fulfilled your part of the bargain.
Right.
That you enter into.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you feel like you played by the rules that you thought had been established, and then the rug got pulled out from under you.
A little.
But Aaron, that's life. We don't always know the terms
going in. I also, like, I wouldn't care at all, and this is also fucking me up, if it wasn't a really interesting game. I wouldn't, I wouldn't feel angry. I would just be like, well, that sucked.
Right.
Yeah.
And a game that can elicit a strong response more than an apathetic one, I feel like is a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. And that's why I don't know what to say to him. Thank you, I think. But like also like...
But also...
Not quite there. I'm not quite ready to say thank you, but I think it's there.
What a neutral ending.
Wow, Julia.
No, I agree. I think you guys are right. And I want to thank you for bringing me here.
Oh, and thank you.
Well, thank you. Are you guys so hungry? Do you want Cheetos?
Cheetos?
He's so high. He doesn't even register what Cheetos are. He
doesn't know what they are.
I want a Monster Energy drink.
No, you don't need that now.
I need like three
That's
monsters.
That's the last thing you need.
It's just going to make you want to fight Toby Fox.
Exactly. Wake me up, cool me down. It's going to make me want to fight. That's right.
Yeah.
I've done enough peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm ready to fight.
Yeah.
Owen, do you have anything to say to Aaron as we close out this episode? Words of wisdom, maybe, or just encouragement?
I don't know. I used to think you were a real man. Now I'm not really sure.
Yeah, dude.
You were about to cry earlier, and...
We all saw it.
I'm about to cry right now.
I don't like when people appear vulnerable in front of me. It's a real turnoff.
Dude, it's right here. It's all right here. Okay. Julia, do you have anything you want to say to Owen?
Same. I just want to echo Owen's thoughts.
To me? Your comment to Owen is to bounce off Owen and say the same thing to me, which is that I was too vulnerable.
This is like a conversation from Undertale.
Oh my god!
Kind of is.
What if we're in Undertale?
Like, I'm just not sure where it's going. I don't know why it's happening.
It's kind of funny.
I feel like it could end.
Who's the enemy? I don't know.
It could end in some sort of battle.
We don't know.
I'm going to spare you both.
Sounds great. I'm going to do that too. And hopefully it'll mean something.
Aaron, right. Don't do it for them, do it for you.
Get it together.
Didn't you learn anything from this fucking game?
No, I didn't learn a thing. I love you guys. I'm sorry that I was difficult this year. So.
I really played psychiatrist this time, didn't I, listeners? I don't regret it. That's part of why video games are so effective. They force us to confront aspects of our nature we wouldn't otherwise see. And Aaron's doing okay. He was just having a moment and processing, and now he's wiser than he was before. Love you guys. See you next time for my favorite game of all time, I'm not even kidding. Pillars of Eternity!